Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Have you ever had one of those weeks where you're just like, leave me alone, back up, just, yeah. Hey, it's Wes. So, some of you might have seen the post on Facebook, a couple days ago, about me getting away from the podcast. I have been in my darkness. I'm going to tell you all that right now. I've been in my darkness. I am starting to get on the upswing of the light. Away from the dark and into the light. But I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. I'm still trying. But I figured I'd elaborate a little bit on what was going on. For those of you who are like, oh my God, is he actually stopping the podcast? Is he going to do something else? Is he just going to go away? Actually, none of the above. I'm going to keep pushing this podcast because I love this podcast. I love all of you guys out there who listen every single day to ones that I don't even think are worth a shit. Not that I put out any that aren't worth a shit, but you know what I'm saying. So this past 2 weeks, actually, I've been out of town. I've been Louisiana, Baton Rouge, that other place. Panama City, Florida, and it's just been busy, which is why I had the mishap of the Lonesome Highway episode this last week, where I got Courtney Dickinson and Rachel Lipsky's episodes swapped. Rachel's episode crashed and corrupted on me. I'm redoing it as we speak, which will actually be the past by the time this one airs. But it's fine. Everything's taken care of. It got swapped. It got switched. Everybody's happy. Everybody loves each other. Yada, yada, yada. I've been in a dark place. It's not been good. It's kind of sucked. But I figured I'd give a little bit of an explanation as to what's going on. So, again, back to, I was in Louisiana for a week on an install fire up of an ATM. I'm an ATM tech. That's what I do in my real life job. That's what I do. I install, troubleshoot, tech support. If your ATM's not working, I'm one of the guys who comes out try to fix it. Now, been out of town for 2 weeks. Get told that I can work from home because, hey, you know, that's an eight-hour drive to Baton Rouge, Livingston Parish, Louisiana. Well, I get home, ATM's on, running, blah, blah, blah. And I don't like to give names on here because somebody might know somebody that I know, and, you know, we don't want all that. So, the guy, my manager calls me, cusses me out for working from home after he deliberately gave me permission to work from home. I screenshot and sent it back to him. He was like, why are you working from home? And I said, well, because you gave me permission. Well, that's not going to work. I said, no. I said, here's where the screenshot, here's where you said it. Well, that just, you know, we have to evaluate that day by day. And if something doesn't work, well, you know. So apparently one of my other coworkers called, complained that I wasn't pulling my weight. And those were the exact words. He's not pulling his weight. He thinks he can work from home all the time. You know what? No. Screw you. So I pack up my stuff from home and I head down. 45 minutes. My office at home is a literally 2-minute walk from my bedroom. I'll walk out of the bedroom, get me something to drink, get my breakfast, and start watching on calls and emails at like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Now I have to leave and go there. It's 45 minutes. I'm not playing on my phone on the way because both of my coworkers have had wrecks because they won't get off the phone. Won't leave it alone. Just put it down. Whatever. So I get to the shop and my coworker has the nerve to look at me and go, you're a lazy piece of shit.
Wrong answer.
I'm lazy. I've spent 2 weeks out of town firing up an ATM while you did what? What'd you do? Answer a couple emails? A couple phone calls? He looks me in the eye and he says, you know, you're causing us to have to do more work because you're not pulling your weight. You're being lazy and you're being a crybaby about wanting to work from home. And if that's the way you feel, you really just need to get on and go find another job.
Before I leave in 3 weeks, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
In front of him, I put in 4 applications. I got immediate 3 callbacks. proving that if I want to go somewhere else, I can. And I will.
You will apologize, and you will like it.
I ain't a one-trick pony. I can do a ton of stuff. It doesn't matter what it is. I can do it. And guess what? There's going to be guys like him at every job that I've ever had. There's going to be guys like that at every job I'll ever have. But I wanted it noted that, look, you want me to leave? This is going to fall on you. We only have three techs. We only have three techs other than myself. And the funny part is they were supposed to hire a guy this week while I was away. They bought him a car. And he did not show up. He said, nah, I found something better. And
he split just like I'm splitting.
Dude split without even coming in. He was like, nah, I don't want no part of that. I don't want no part of that. Y'all got ATMs in Miami, Virginia, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, and everywhere in between. And you're only going to pay me X to drive Y amount of miles? Nah, I'm out, dude. I'm out. And you know what? I don't blame him. I do not blame him. If I knew how much nonsense would come up into this company, I probably wouldn't have left the other job I was at, but I was also miserable there. Correction, I was not miserable at my other job. I was complacent. I was complacent. The money was good. The hours were decent. The people sucked. But it was paying the bills. It was paying the bills. And something I've always said, if you're ever complacent, is worse than being miserable. Complacency is absolutely 100% worse than being miserable. If you're miserable, you're going to do something to change it. If you're complacent, you're just going to let it go. And you're going to be like, yeah, well, it sucks, but pays the bills. Lights are on, the podcast's still going. Which is, you know, that's one way to look at it. But it's not the best thing in life. And I'm recording this now 3 days after the fact of when this all went down. Because I had to calm down. I really did. Because if not, I would have been on this podcast and I would have recorded and I would have blasted everybody that I've worked with, everybody that works there, everybody that works above me. And I would have basically called the place a joke. It would have been...
Everybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
In the eyes of the storm. See the-
That was Throw the Fight with Fallout.
Yeah.
So when all was said and done, I packed my shit. I packed my part of my office. That's the problem. That's like the biggest problem that I have is we have four techs. We're in a room like the size of my bedroom, honestly. We got four techs in there. And right now, due to COVID, we still haven't gotten all the office people back in the office. They all work from home. I say work from home. They do something that's not at the shop. It was originally when I was hired on was, hey, look, as soon as we get this other stuff, we're going to be able to work remotely. You can work from home. I can do everything at the house that I can do at work other than program a machine. But we don't program that many machines unless we know they're going out, you know, soon. Problem is 9 times out of 10, we end up getting machines in 2, 3, sometimes 4 months before they ever leave the warehouse. So you've got 4 months to monkey with it, unless it's like an emergency thing and one gets robbed or ripped off or whatever, and we've got to deploy one that we have, which we have some. And then that's just a quick punch in all the stuff and take it out there and put it down. But there's no real point in us being in the shop, which is something I've fought against since day one of 90% of this job is remote. Why can't we work from home? And we did for 2 months during COVID. And then we slowly started getting squeezed back in. Then we were told, when we get this new phone system, we're going to get a new phone system and it's going to work. And you'll be able to answer calls. And if you don't answer the call, it'll go to the next person in the queue. That's great. That is great. One tech doesn't know how to answer it. One tech, it doesn't ring till the end, and we're told basically that it's not supposed to go to him at all. We're supposed to answer it before then. Whatever. And that was one of the things that really started the argument with my coworker, was I was on a call, was trying to pull a report from another ATM, and the guy was like, hey, let me call you back. Then my phone rang and I rejected it because I was like, no, I'm waiting on a phone call. And that was when he's like, you have the nerve to sit in here and you don't do shit, but you sit here and then you forward a phone call to us. He's like, that's bullshit. And I was like, nah, dude, it's not bullshit. I'm waiting on another phone call. I don't have time to get tied up on hunting some ghost for somebody else while I'm already in the middle of doing something else. You're sitting there not doing anything. You and the other tech are blah-bitty-blah about what you did over the weekend or where you're going on vacation. Answer the call and see what they want. And lo and behold, it wasn't anything important. It was somebody asking if we could put money on books for somebody in jail. We don't do that. We don't do that. And we get so many of those phone calls. It's so aggravating because the problem is we sell a ton of ATMs that we don't actually service. We sell them, but then they leave our stickers on the side. Or another gas station buys out the station where the ATM is, and our sticker's still on the side. And I hate it because that means we're first line. We get the calls of, hey, look, this thing's not working. Well, you know, that's not us. We don't drive it. Sorry. And then the customer gets pissed off and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, that was what the whole thing started over, me wanting to work from home. And then when I came in, I got on another project that I was already working on from home. And because I forwarded a phone call of, look, I'm not answering this. You answer this. I'm handling something. Then it was, well, you're just lazy. You don't do anything, and you need to go find another job. Great. Okay. Bye. So that was my week. That was my 2 weeks. And I'm just now starting to actually get back to where I was. As far as mentally. Mentally. Look, anybody who knows me knows that I am bipolar. I do have depression. And I do have a slight anger issue. Slight anger. There's, you know, I'm not going to lose my cool and beat the shit out of somebody for the fun of it. But if you provoke me, you know, be ready. Yeah. So, tell me about it. Tell me, have you guys had any issues with the workplace, and how did you handle them? Did you fly off the bat? Did you get fired? Did you just say, you know what, this guy's going to eventually get fired and leave me alone anyway? Or did you do something? Did you get them fired? Those are the stories I want to know. Did you get them fired? Tell me in the comments below. This will be fun. While you're commenting below, you can rock out to this next song. This is Sleep Signals with The Victim.
I won't lie to you, I used to be exactly like you. Nobody knows you quite like I do. You're so predictable. I tried to walk away, but I had to stay. Cause I know all those games that you play, and I know all the things that you say.
So the way the show's going to go is I'm going to talk about the negative, I'm going to talk about some more negative, and in the end, I'm going to bring it on back up with the upswing of some happiness and some good shit. How's that sound to you? But first, more bad. So there was a point in my life a year ago, when I got my studio, and I was over the moon, I was happy, I was go lucky, I was, you know, hey, look, nothing bad can happen to me. Yeah, right. You guys know better than that. I was still in one of those moods. But back then, I used to camp out at my studio. I mean, seriously, I was down there all the time. And this past May, you guys have seen the pictures, you've seen the posts. It sucked. I mean, it sucked. It could have sucked a lot worse, and I had to keep that in my mind of, okay, great, you know, this happened. Now, what do we do? Where do we go? Do we rebuild? A freaking course we rebuild, and we make things better, because that's what you do. You know, the old, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Yeah. So, I'm in the midst of getting stronger. But it compounded everything, because those of you who've been in my studio, you know it's such a lovely place. It really is. I mean, I call it the dungeon, I call it the pit, whatever, but it's not. It was somewhere you came. I mean, I remember a couple of guys stopping by, and we just sat there, and we would talk for hours. Now, I go there. My girlfriend's got Chromastorm Arts. Problem is, I've got a lot of my stuff in her space now, because I haven't put everything back yet. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of scared on pulling the trigger of putting everything back down there. Not knowing, is it going to rain again? Is it going to rain again like that? Is it going to flood again? Or I can't. When we did this the original time, we were focusing on her part. New flooring, painting. What else did we do up there? Everything. Lights. Wow. Just completely forgot everything I was going to say. The focal wall, her stage, the fabric over the ceiling to cover. We don't have plaster money, because redoing that plaster is going to be expensive. So we didn't really take shortcuts, but we took ideas, expanded those ideas, and used that as modifications for upstairs. And we did a lot of stuff upstairs. We did a ton of stuff upstairs. We didn't focus that much on the mosh pit, on the studio. We did the flooring, epoxy with the cool little glitter flake things, like garage flooring. Made it really cool. I mean, we didn't really have a choice, because the floor that was down there from before, when it was a screen printing, t-shirt printing spot, the floor was disgusting. I mean, we had to acid wash it 3 times and etch the shit out of it. And we got it. You know, we got it. We made that point then of, hey, why don't we go up the walls? But we both kind of were at that point of, no, we don't want to cover the exposed brick, because everybody loves exposed brick. Exposed brick looks great, and it was lovely. Now we are covering the brick, but we're only going halfway up the wall. We're not going to cover a lot of stuff. We're only going as high, well, a little bit higher than where it flooded to. Because you got to think, we got 3 foot worth of water. I mean, that was 3 feet of water. It was waist deep. It was bad. And now, I say now, it doesn't feel like a studio. It doesn't feel like somewhere I want to be, because now when I open that basement door, it's got that smell of, oh, well, this is a basement. And yeah, I can sort of smell, after recovering from COVID, I can sort of smell, but not great. But I can smell that. I can smell that, oh, yeah, that's a basement. Yeah. Yeah, that's a basement. It's underground. I can tell. And it's so bad. But I think I've got most of the smell out. We've got all the water out. There's, you know, what else are you going to do? We're waterproofing as much as we can so it doesn't happen again. But the way I look at it is, this is a chance to rebuild. This is a chance to do it the way I wanted to do it originally, and actually use the budget of doing what I want without spending that budget upstairs. Because now I can come in and I can do the things I want to do. I'm being vague because I'm not posting a lot of pictures right now. Nobody's really seen what I'm doing. A couple of guys have seen the ideas, and they've seen a couple of the layouts. Even my lovely co-host, Miss Haley Pearl, she hasn't seen it, which sucks, because she hasn't even been to my studio yet. She has not been in there. We never once shared the same space since we've been working together. And honestly, that bugs me. I've got another couple of projects coming up that, as soon as this studio's done,
I'm going to share pictures. Oh, you guys are going to see it. It's going to be awesome. Because I've got a couple of projects in the wings. I've got a couple of guys I'm looking to collaborate with. A couple of the guys that were in bands and are doing other things. We want to collaborate on a few kind of cool things. Listen, while you're listening to this, when you get done listening to this, go check out the Daily Gamer. Dude posts some really cool videos. It's all retro games, Super Mario Brothers, Punch Out, Spot, for those of you who know that game, Castlevania. It's really cool. He does some pretty good in-depth stories about the games and just some playthroughs. It's pretty awesome. Go check him out. And here's his band, The Rovers, with Live For You. I'll be wrapping this up now. So yeah, like I said, there's some good, there's some somewhere in between. Like I said, by the time this episode airs, anything that I said at the beginning of this with the jackass, you know, it's all gonna be water under the bridge. Everybody will be happy.
There. Now we can be friends again.
Back to the whole reason I started this episode was because of what he said to me after I've been on the road. And it didn't sit well with me. And it really got under my skin. And I guess the main reason is because this is not the first time it's happened. If it was, it might be a little bit different. But the first time it happened was actually on Christmas. I'm going to back up here and I'm going to go back to this and then I'm going to move on. But Christmas Eve, we were all, you know, going to do different stuff. Like, we were off, but we were watching emails or whatever. So anyway, we get a call about an ATM that both he and I have worked on multiple times. And I'm like, dude, I cannot get this. I can't get her to do what I need her to do, being the teller that was working on it. And I'm like, man, can you grab this one? And he comes back at me with, you're a piece of shit, you're lazy, and you just don't want to work, and it's going to be because of you. We're going to end up working on Christmas Eve from now on because you don't want to do your fucking job and pull your own weight. Now I have an issue. Now I've got an issue. You called me lazy, you called me a piece of shit, you said I wasn't pulling my weight. And this from a guy who had, at that point, been hired all of 6 months. All of 6 months. And that really pissed me off. So I said something about it to my immediate manager, who was like, look, that shit ain't going to fly with me. You know, I mean, you got a problem with me, we can take it out in the parking lot. Whatever. But you're not going to talk to me that way. I don't give a damn who you are, and I don't give a damn what I do. You're not going to talk to me that way. Because if you do, we are going to have problems. And, of course, you know, blah, blah, blah. Manager got involved, and he's like, well, I'll take care of it. And, of course, you know, nothing got said, nothing got done. And, to me, there's a problem. And I think this quote right here, this clip that I'm about to play, actually sums up how I feel about this happening twice now with nothing happening.
You see, that's just unacceptable. No. No, see, that's a bunch of bull.
Uh-oh.
No, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Anyway, so this is why it's taken this long for me to actually record this episode, because I wasn't going to get on here and air all my grievances, but, you know, because if I had come home, and I did come home and I did record the day it happened, that was like a 2-hour episode, because I have been in therapy and I have learned that if something happens, you talk about it, whether there's somebody there to listen or not. I've got my 4 South Park action figures on my monitors. They listen to me. I've got Sparky. He listens to me. Does anybody give a shit? No. But it's good to get it out there. It's good to get it out there in the open. That way that other people can hear it. No, that's not it. It's best to get it out there. I used to have a friend who actually, he would write everything down in a notebook. He would write everything down in a notebook, all of the negative, and then he would rip it out and he would throw it in the fireplace and burn it slowly. Which, I mean, you know, to each his own. I don't write. I'm not putting that much effort into it. But I will fire up my microphone and I will record, because this right here, this is the most important thing in my life, is my microphone, because I know it is a powerful tool. I love it. I love being able to actually fire up my microphone, talk into it, and whether anybody's listening or not, I can record it, I can listen to it back, I can see if I'm angry or upset or whatever. And it's good therapy. It always has been, and it really has been since the day I started this. And now we get to the positives and the upswings, because that was something else. You know, when I first started this podcast, I talk about this all the time. When I first started the podcast, 2012, blah, blah. Let's go back even further. I can go back even further to like 2005. I started working at a great pizza place in town. Super cool guys. We were a great bunch. And it was fun. And there was a few guys who were music lovers like me. And what we would do is we would try to find obscure bands and just see, be like, hey man, I bet you've never heard of this band. And we would play stuff. it was honestly, it was where I found Rise Against, because their first album was heavy. And that was what the guy that I brought it to, I'm like, yo, dude, you got to check these guys out. And he's like, whoa. He's like, those. He's like, that's heavy. And they were great. I loved it. I rocked the shit out of that first album. Well, then when I started digging, so from Rise Against, I went further. I went deeper. I went out there. And I'm not talking about, you know, Linkin Park. I'm not talking about known bands. I'm talking about bands who were cutting their teeth back then. And it's really funny because, again, I told you we were going to get to the upswing, right? There was a band that I found, and they were a local Georgia band. It was a band called Scavenger. And I found this song. I don't remember how. It might have been on MySpace. It might have been somewhere like that. And I found this band called Scavenger. And let me tell you something. This band was freaking awesome. I'm actually going to play Apollo's Curse here in just a minute, but I want to give you some more story of these guys. They were just a hellacious band. They were awesome. They were loud. They were loud. You know that whole, I like my women like I like my music, soft and slow. No, loud and heavy. These guys were loud and heavy, and they just rocked it. I probably played this one song probably 1,000 times, and I brought them in to the pizza place, and I'm like, guys, you've got to hear this. I'm like, you have got to hear this. I was that guy who was like in your face with a new band that I just discovered because they were my band because I discovered them. Yeah, I was that guy. And, dude, the guys fell in love, and I tried to find more from them. I tried to find more. Only thing I could find was one song. And I think I did end up finding another couple of songs, and they were really good. And then they just vanished. Dudes just disappeared. Well, fast forward to me getting a Facebook and me starting the podcast and me doing all this stuff. I am now in touch with the guy from Scavenger. We are going to set up an interview because I'm going to pick his brain. And this is probably the biggest interview that I'm looking forward to, that I have been looking forward to in a long time. Because this one here is close to home. He's local to Georgia. He was one of my early influences as far as music. I say early, it's 2005. I mean, hell, I'm out of high school at that point. But still, it's that whole, this is the guy. These are the guys. These are the bands that are growing to be the bands that you love. The bands that you hear on the radio. They're the ones. And that's where this whole love for unsigned and independent music started. Because unsigned and indie music is where it's at. Because before you're Metallica, before you're AC/DC, before you are Slipknot, Linkin Park, Papa Roach, I'm just naming bands now. Before you're any of those guys, you're unsigned. Nobody knows who you are on that stage. Nobody knows you. And I don't mean nobody knows you. I mean nobody knows you. And you've got to impress these guys that are coming to the show. Whether they've heard your music before or whether they're like me and Amanda used to be of, we just show up to shows because there's music. And that was the way we met so many bands. So many bands. We would listen. We would follow Reverb Nation. And we would pull out, all right, that show's close. That one's in Villarica. Let's go to it. This one's at the Masquerade. Let's go. This one's at Smith's. Let's go. And we wouldn't look at every band on the card. We would go for the headliner. We'd look at the headliner. All right, who's playing? Okay, they look cool. Do you know how many bands I found who weren't headliners, who were opening acts? And when they got off stage, I said, shit. I said, these guys should have closed the show. These guys should have closed the show. And I've met some great people. So is this podcast ever going to stop? No. Is this episode ever going to stop? It might not. It's just me behind the mic tonight, baby. But in all honesty, that's the thing. And there's a concert coming up. I'm pretty sure most of you have heard about it. It's Shaky Knees Festival. It's coming to Central Park in Atlanta on October 22nd through the 24th of this year. The year we're back from the lockdown. Woo! Here's my problem.
Here is my problem. They posted this thing on social media, on Facebook, Twitter. Facebook is where I found it, actually. So I'm just going to focus there. They posted it on Facebook, and they posted about the show. This is why we can't have nice things, because every single person commenting on the lineup shit all over it.
Oh, these people are a bunch of nobodies. Oh, I don't see anybody that I'd go for. The only two people on there are ancient history bands.
And they're talking about Alice Cooper and Stevie Nicks. I mean, Stevie Nicks and Alice Cooper. I'd go for them. But the coolest part is there's so many, like, lower card names. And I don't mean that as they're low bands. I mean that as they're not these monsters of rock. They're not the type that people see that you build festivals around. But these are the ones, these are the shows that I go to. These are the ones. I'm not going to name any names on here. You guys can go find them. But they're smaller bands. They're smaller bands. They're the bands that pack these masquerades and Smiths and all these other venues. And that's not a knock to anybody. That's just fact. That's these bands who are cutting their teeth. And they're finally getting a shot at the upper deck. Of, hey, look, you know, you guys come on down here. We're going to play this. But people were complaining because that's what people do. People complained about the lineup. It's a great lineup. It is. Yeah, they compared it to so many other festivals. And they're like, man, why can't we have something like this? Why couldn't we have this? And they posted the Blue Ridge Rock Festival that's going to be hosted by Steve-O September 9th through the 12th. And you guys like Breaking Benjamin, Day to Remember, Hailstorm, Skillet, Rob Zombie, Limp Bizkit, Rise Against, Five Finger Death Punch, Megadeth, Lamb of God. I mean, they're all these bands who have made it. But Atlanta, Shaky Knees is doing the up and coming, the bands that are going to be at that level one day. And I think it's freaking awesome. I mean, I do run the podcast promoting unsigned and independent punk rock and metal. So you know I'm happy. But I think it was like, why complain? Just be happy that concerts are back. Be happy that concerts are back. Because we went a year. We went a year, over a year, without anything. Anything. If you were lucky enough to see a good live stream, or, you know, hopefully some little bit of new music here and there. But we went a full year. Try to wrap your brain around that. We went a full year without live shows, concerts, festivals, music in general. And it sucked. It sucked. And now we got them back. And things are on the upswing. Things are good. Things are awesome. But getting back to the whole reason of this episode, I don't remember what that was. But anyway, here's Scavenger with Apollo's Curse.
My skin. You get high enough dancing down with all you see, calling out to something strange down inside of me, giving light and brainless feeling of twice, maybe once again, breaking down my pride, intimidating eyes they gaze into me. Can we shine through all the scene? Now it's loud on everything. Will I find in this ring the broken keys to all my mountains of fantasy? Would you just try to come for me? Crashing down with all you see.
Coming up next is Veo with Crux. And after that, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys next week.
Show me I am more than shapes. A shelter.